Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Matt Hummer podcast, episode 117. I'm Mo, and you're Elle. How are you, Elle?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Having a good week in the relentless sunshine. I say it's relentless. It has actually finally clouded over, but
I love it so much. This morning when I looked out the window, it was literally like I was on holiday, but then I wasn't because I had to come and talk to you.
Sorry. I don't know what to say to that. Sorry, mate. Reaper of your holiday dreams. You're the worst goth ever. Do you know that? You really do love the sunshine.
I really do love the sunshine. I'm wearing full black though. I'm wearing a black crop top and black shorts and black socks.
And also, it looks like on your Instagram that you've made a crow friend now. Is that a thing?
Yes. Oh, so the crow friend, he's been visiting my garden and the next door neighbor's garden. I've just been getting super, super, super excited to see him. I'm like always running out with my phone trying to get a picture of him. But, you know, inevitably he always like jumps away at the last minute. But I was looking out the window yesterday and he was on top of the overflow pipe, which is like slightly higher up in the building in the flat above. And the crow was sitting on the pipe and drinking the water. And it was the greatest thing ever. And he was so clever. He was like poking his beak into the pipe and drinking all the water.
They are really clever. Like,
no.
I had one, obviously, at Glastonbury a few years ago. And I was just half cut walking around one of the hippie fields. I can't remember which one. And there was just this dude with a pet crow on his shoulder. And he, like, I'd never interacted with a crow before. And he, like, jumped over. And it's actually like, it's like a parrot or something. They're really intuitive and clever and, like,
he's beautiful. He's really big and really glossy. And he clearly lives in the trees around the garden because I keep seeing him. He's just such a beautiful crow. I hope he never leaves.
What a lovely, lovely feathery boy. We have a brand new issue of Metal Hammer on sale right now. It is in the shops in the UK. You can buy it online from tinyurl.com/buyhammer. It's a special tribute issue to Paul Gray from Slipknot, who, of course, passed away 10 years ago this month. I think the actual date was last Sunday. So we put together a tribute issue to Paul, very expertly and lovingly written by Elle. Yeah, it's an amazing read and just a really special piece. Elle did a great job, I think, getting in loads of Paul's peers and friends to kind of pay tribute as well. It was quite heartening to see some of the people tell some of those anecdotes and kind of memories and just general thoughts about him and what he meant to them.
Yeah, it was really nice to see all those memories come in and just see what people had to say about their friendships. And special shout out to Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach, who got on a lockdown Zoom call and had a good chat with him about his memories of the Warped Tour and so on. So it was really nice to hear people talk about Paul and what he meant to them.
Yeah, totally. It's a really, really good read, and I think a lot of Slipknot fans already know what Paul meant to the band. Obviously, he was the bassist, and he was the most quiet, one of the more quiet kind of personalities in the band. Not maybe the first person to do press or be in front of a camera or anything like that, but he was such an integral part of the band, the founding member, a huge part of the songwriting process for many of their most famous and important songs, and he was a massive, massive loss to the band in many, many ways, as is evident by the piece that Elle wrote and the tributes that came in. It's a great piece. You should all go read it. It's on sale now, so if you're out doing your shop, you can grab it if you go past the magazine stands, or as I've said before, you can get it delivered nice and safely to your house or to your device. Head over to tinyurl.com/buyhammer to find out how to do that. And the magazine also comes with over £10 worth of exclusive bonus digital mags and a brand new exclusive bonus Slipknot digital mag that we put together, painstakingly put together, counting down their 20 greatest songs ever. It's a rather splendid little collection, if I do say so myself. and there's loads of other great stuff in there as well. We've got a really cool piece on the mixtapes that made metal. So all of those iconic metal compilations that were really important to the metal scene over the years. We've got features with the likes of Nightwish, Aranzi Pazuzu, Ozzy Osbourne, Guns N' Roses, My Dying Bride, Ice Nine Kills, loads of stuff in there. But yeah, very much mainly about paying tribute to Paul Gray, who was such an important member of Slipknot and much missed.
We should say it's a celebration as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's really celebrating what he brought to the band and his role in the band and how he developed as a player as well, and went from being a guitarist and sort of aspiring to be in a band to switching to bass to being in Slipknot, and his massive contribution to the music that they wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think to me, I think it's testament to how powerful Paul was in the band that, to be honest, I feel like we kind of talked before about how it really feels like Slipknot are really, really beloved by everyone again. Like, it feels like everyone was so with them on that last album cycle. And, you know, I think most people thought that The Great Chapter at least had some good stuff in it. But that era maybe felt a little bit more disjointed and like they were finding their feet with the new lineup. And it feels like it's taken, I mean, you know, it's 10 years since Paul's died, and it's only really taken till now where I really feel like Slipknot have properly found their feet again as a unit, which again is testament to how important he was, and his memory absolutely lives on. And yeah, as Elle said, it's a big celebration of his life and career, which are both very fascinating things to read about. Lots of stuff happening in the metal world. The metal world continues to move apace despite all the bullshit that's going on in the world. Faith No More have rescheduled their UK and European dates. You can head to metalhammer.com for the full list of new dates. I think they're due to be in our part of the world within the next few weeks. But obviously that's now not going to happen. But they have rescheduled, so you can see all the new dates now over on the Metal Hammer website. And also a very cool thing they've done is that they've announced a special merchandise sale to raise money for their road crew. Because as we all know, if you're in a road crew, if you're part of a band's touring machine, you do not have any work going on right now. So it's really cool that Faith No More are drawing attention to that and raising some money for some of their good friends and colleagues. What else is going on, Al? This is quite exciting.
Yeah, apparently Corey Taylor has recorded a solo album. He announced on Lizzie Hale's podcast, Raise Your Horns, that he secretly recorded the album with members of his solo band. And he said that many of the tracks are songs he'd already written, but that didn't fit with Stone Sour or Slipknot.
Yeah, this is cool. I mean, you know, we know it kind of, I had to double take and double check to see that Corey hadn't actually done a solo album, because he's just been so present in his own personality and his own kind of individuality outside of his main two bands that it's amazing he hasn't actually done something like this till now. I know he's done like EPs and singles and covers and stuff, but this is going to be the real deal, it looks like.
Yeah, I went to see him when he did his solo tour, when he was basically talking about his life, taking audience questions and just playing songs from across his career. And obviously he did that sweary Christmas song.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's kind of crazy that he wouldn't have done something by now, because it just seems like he would have done. Like you said, he's done all the books as well. So yeah, should be cool. I'm sure he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm very interested to see, because Corey's definitely a very ambitious songwriter. And one of the things you will see actually when you read the thing about the 20 greatest Slipknot songs in the new issue is that Corey was always a real driving force in trying to push Slipknot out of their comfort zone. So if that's kind of, if he's been writing stuff that he feels doesn't fit Slipknot or Stone Sour, it's going to be really interesting to hear what that sounds like. So I'm very intrigued, because he's got a lot of strings to his bow, has young Mr. Taylor, as he's apparently known. In other good new music news, Parkway Drive are working on new music. That is very exciting indeed. Winston confirmed in a new interview with Rock Sound that the band have started writing while in lockdown. So yeah, we did kind of question whether bands would have time to write now that they're not able to go out on the road, and it looks like Parkway are doing that, which is good, because Parkway are the best.
I agree. I have nothing to add apart from I'm excited.
I know they've pushed back the big kind of shows they were doing across Europe to I think later in the year now. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they now have some new music to accompany that, whenever those shows might finally take place, which is good. We got an album of the week this week. We're going to do the new album from Bleed From Within, which I'm quite excited about. Love these guys for a very long time. The what?
It's really good.
It is really fucking good.
It's really good.
It feels weird to do this, because I feel like I have to do this every time we cover Bleed From Within, because they've had such a, no pun intended, fractured story.
That was terrible. I can't believe you just did that.
I didn't mean to do it. I just started to say it, and then I realised that it genuinely wasn't on purpose. The new album's called Fracture, and maybe this is why, because they have had a very fractured and turbulent journey as a band. I mean, it's weird. I feel like I'm having deja vu here, because I feel like it was in a similar position many years ago with them. But so for people who aren't familiar with the Bleed From Within guys, we've done them on the podcast a lot. We've done them in the magazine. As a matter of fact, we have an interview with them in the new issue of Metal Hammer that you can get out right now as well, that goes through a lot of this stuff. But they kind of came on the metal. They're a Scottish kind of heavy metalcore, groove metal kind of band. from Glasgow. They turned up at kind of the end of the noughties. They had a couple of albums out in that time, Humanity and Empire. They were both really good. And then they kind of went off the grid a little bit for a few years. There's been some kind of issues with labels and just some problematic decision-making around the band, which they've kind of got into some depth, some stuff they don't want to talk about too much. But basically, they had a bit of a bumpy ride. And then they came back in 2013 with this album, Uprising, which is one of my favourite British metal albums of the last 10 years. It's such a great record. We really raved about it at the time. Really felt like it was the moment where they were going to get back on the horse and become a really significant force in British metal. And then nothing for 5 years, which was just so, so strange. So there were more issues there and more things that were holding them back, which, again, they talk about in the new issue of Hammer. They came back again with Era, their fourth album in 2018, which I thought was another really strong album, kind of a similar vibe to Uprising, kind of continued that groove they'd gotten into at that point. And now, 2 years later, they're back again with this album, Fracture. And as we said at the start, I think this album fucking slays. I had solid expectations because I think Bleed From Within are a really great band. But I think this is probably certainly the most concise album they've done. It's like 10 tracks and out, no messing about. And every song on it absolutely rules. I just think when it comes to really good, modern, crushing heavy metal, similar to what we said about Trivium a few months ago, this is what I want metal to sound like in 2020. I think they've absolutely nailed it. What are your thoughts, Al?
Literally that. Like, it's a big modern metal album that sounds like now, sounds very slick, very shiny, just really crushes as well. And there's just some really cool little sounds going on in there as well, like little cool guitar tones. There's a couple of like big solos. It's drawing.
Yeah, it's funny from that, because I picked out one of the solos. When did I pick out a solo?
Fall Away. There's a massive solo.
Yeah, Fall Away.
Stood out to me.
And it's quite like, they're quite kind of like heavy metal, like kind of.
Yeah, it really stood out to me after the first few songs. Actually, I was like, oh, there's a big solo. Where did that come from?
Yeah. I really like, I mean, they've always had this thing in their locker. One of the things I love about Bleed From Within is that they're quite hard to pin down as a band, because the last few albums have brought in so many different elements of heavy metal music. But there's a real lot of thrash on this album, like real kind of like juddering, galloping guitar riffs and stuff. There's some quite testamenty sounding stuff on here, which I really, really like. The End of All We Know, that's the first song on there. That's got a bit of that in there. For All to See as well, that's got a bit on there as well. For All to See and then Fall Away, which we mentioned already, that's got a kind of good thrashy heavy metal vibe to it. But there's loads of other stuff on here as well. I mean, we are really hearing the influence of Gojira on modern metal now, because the grooves on Pathfinder are just pure Gojira. And, you know, it's easy to be snidey about that. It's like, oh, I see you've been listening to Gojira, but fuck me, they employ it so, so well. And when they drop those moments, they sound absolutely huge. Like, it's one of those things where I put this album on, kind of got on with my work, I was listening to it, and then I kept finding myself stopping because there'd be this like big riff or this big groove or this big drop that just makes you stop what you're doing and just go, oh.
Also, why would you not listen to Gojira? Why would absolutely you not want to sound like Gojira? Gojira are amazing.
Yeah, why do you not utilize one of the greatest heavy metal bands of all time? But it's cool because it's more of a modern sound. It's evidence that bands are kind of taking account of what's going on now. It's not just like, oh, here's a Machine Head riff, or oh, here's a Iron Maiden solo. You know, it's all more modern sounding stuff as well, which is great. One thing I really noticed is that Scott's vocals, I feel like, have matured in a really interesting way. I got a lot of Winston McCall in his vocals on this, in that kind of like barked, growly, but very clear and concise delivery that Winston's so good at. I felt totally a lot of that. I don't know if it's intentional, but the first few tracks, it was really bugging me where I'd kind of heard this delivery before, and then it really reminded me of Winston on the last Parkway album.
Lamb of God, Randy Blythe as well. He's really good at that. Where you've just got these like really metal lyrics, but you can really like grasp a hold of them really quickly because, like you said, they're really, really clear. There was like a lyric that really sprang out on me. I think it was Utopia. It says, I'm born again with a fistful of rage to set the record straight. And I was like, this is just like something you'd have at a festival pit. Literally, you would just go straight in there. Yeah, that would happen.
It's really well built for live crowds, and there's loads of like kind of call out moments and big choruses and big like shout outs and stuff that you can, like you say, definitely see live crowds and festival crowds grasping onto. Like, Believe From Within have always, I've never disliked anything they've done, but it's rare that I think they put an album out where you can see every single song really hitting it live. And I know that's something they talked about on the last album. Like, they had moments, I can't remember what the lead single off the last album was now, but they said that when they went out and started touring that record, people were singing that song back to them straight away. And I think they've taken that lesson and really spread it over this record, because there's so many big moments that sound like they belong on a big stage. There's some more kind of clean vocal experimentation that I think really works on The End of All We Know and Ascend. It's not overwrought, it's not kind of pushing it, it's just kind of nice little extra catchy bits that can maybe, you know, bring out a little bit more crowd participation and just give the album a few more layers than it had previously.
I think in Ascend, really, actually, you mentioned that, like, being melodic, that really reminded me of Alias by In Flames, the riff there.
Oh, nice. That's an awesome, thing. Yeah, I back that. That's cool.
It really jumped out at me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, again, like a band that you can just, whose influence you can see all over the place now. And yeah, I love how heavy metal this album is. It's proudly heavy metal. It's not kind of hiding those kind of old school influences, but it's also, I mean, the band, and Elle's already mentioned them, the band that I compare this band to is Lamb of God. Because for me, like, if you're looking forward to that Lamb of God album and what you want from a Lamb of God album, having heard that and heard this, I think you will, it's going to be, I don't know quite how to put it. Not many bands do Lamb of God as well as Lamb of God do, but for what they do well, Bleed From Within are right up there as well. And I think this album is, you know, showing some of the older boys how it's done, to be honest. I think they are absolutely phenomenal about working in those big riffs, those big heavy grooves, but still managing to work in all those hooks that kind of keep you coming back. Yeah, and once again, I just love that this is like, I think it's literally 10 tracks. Yeah, 10 tracks and out, no messing around. That's what I'm talking about. Like, don't need to kind of try and overthink it. Just write 10 big heavy metal bangers. Trivium did exactly the same trick earlier this year, and it's worked spectacularly well. I genuinely think this is the best thing this band has done. And even though I was convinced I would like it, because I like everything they've done, I didn't think I'd find myself really loving it like I do. And I'm really, really pleased for them, knowing what they've gone through, that they've managed to get back into a groove again where they're putting out great material and probably, as the old saying goes, better than they've ever been. But I mean that when I say it. It's true. It's true. So yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything more to add to that really, other than if you just like modern heavy metal music, modern metal music in general, done really, really fucking well. And it sounds urgent and it sounds like it's from now and it sounds like it belongs in 2020. If you like your Lamb of Gods and your Triviums and your Machine Heads, Bleed From Within should be in that conversation as well. And this is an absolutely great album. So yeah, it's called Fracture and it's out on Friday via Century Media, I believe. So you should go and listen to that. There's also other stuff out this week, by the way. A new Aelstorm album. Chances are you're going to know if you want to listen to that or not by now. But it is very, very Aelstormy. That band continues to just defy all expectations. Curse of the Crystal Coconuts is out on Friday. There's a new Carrick Angren album out as well. If you want something more kind of undergroundy and black metal-y and along those kind of lines. New Gravedigger album out as well, if you just want some no-nonsense, heavy fucking metal thunder. Yeah, that's also very good. So loads of good shit out this week. But if you can only check out one thing, I would highly recommend the Bleed From Within album, because it is tops. Tops, tops, tops.
Well, I'm more excited now. Old-fashioned phrases today, Merlin.
I know. Well, you know, trying to keep it real in a 1980s vibe. I'm just excited. I mean, I've been talking about this album I like, and now I'm all hurt.
No, it's really good. It's one of those albums that's going to see me through winter, because not to be a goth about it, but like,
it's not winter, mate.
No, I know. But like, I love spring and summer because I feel really happy. And then in winter, even though I love like the darkness, sometimes it can get a bit sad. So it's one of the records that's going to keep me going through the winter. I can put it on when it's dark in the morning and blast it and I'll feel better.
Yeah, definitely. It's a high motivation album for sure.
Yeah.
Shall we take some reader questions from our wonderful readers?
Yes.
At facebook.com/metalhammerreaders.
Mark Baker.
I've been blabbing away.
Mark Baker asks, this is very topical, how far are you willing to drive to test your eyesight? And what album would be your choice for a road trip soundtrack?
Something been going on in the
news? I don't know.
I believe it's officially titled hashtag Cumgate. So there you go. Yeah, what would I mean? Neither L nor I drive. I do have a license, but I haven't used it for over 10 years, I don't think. Because I've been
well, just pretend you are using it for this situation.
Well, if I'm going, so this isn't just a quick drive, is it? This is a 260 mile
drive,
very specifically. So you want something that's really going to get you going.
Well, it says how far are you willing to drive to test your eyesight. So you don't have to drive that far, or you could drive further. You can use your discretion.
Okay, well, if I'm using my discretion on how far you should drive to test your fucking eyesight, then in that case, I'm just going to play You Suffer by Napalm Death, because that's as far as I'm driving without my glasses on. All of a second, because I'm not going to go on a rant about this, but yeah, if I'm actually willing to drive to test my eyesight, not very far. If it was along a safe kind of road with nothing either side or at the end, maybe I'd play like, I don't know. Now, you want something calm, don't you?
Oh, hang on. It's not 260 miles anyway, the eyesight testing. That's 30 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right then.
It's 30 miles to a beauty spot, remember?
Right, that's okay.
You can stop on the way if a member of your party needs a pee in a forest.
Right, kids.
And play there for a while.
I don't know. I'm not driving. I literally don't drive. So I'm going to sit at home and just listen to this Blue Within album again. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, obviously, I wouldn't drive any distance to test my eyesight because we would do that. But if I had to make a long car trip, obviously, I'd, you know, go and see my family, as is customary if you're making a long car trip.
When you're allowed.
Well, this is a hypothetical in which I'm not really me and I'm bending the rules. Okay. So in that hypothetical rule bent situation, I'm obviously going to go and see my parents, and they live in South Manchester. And the soundtrack would be Slipknot's We Are Not Your Kind, because the last time, I don't know if it's the last time I was in a car with my mum, but my mum was in the car with me, and it was on the day that record came out, and it was my cousin's wedding, and my mum got in the car with me, and I was like, we're listening to the new Slipknot record, mum. Do you want me to change it? And she was like, no, no, that's fine. Whatever you like.
Excellent.
That would bring back good memories.
Yeah. That is.
It wouldn't have been the last time we're in a car together, but it was the last significant time I remember with music being on.
Well, mate, you drive a bit reckless, though. Like, fucking hell. By the time Solway Firth comes on, you're going to be like, ah!
Got my mum in the car, Merlin. So even though I'm driving to test my eyesight, I'm not putting anyone's lives in danger.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Matthew Bell asks, just finished watching The Last Dance. Excuse me. Just finished watching The Last Dance. I got choked up thinking about it. And the excellent use of Pearl Jam's present tense in the final episode got me thinking, what are the best unexpected uses of rock or metal songs in TV and movies? I watched The Last Dance as well. And it is, honestly, whether you're into any sport or not, it is one of the best documentaries I've seen. And it's so good that it's actually got me into basketball to an extent where I'm going to buy my first basketball jersey on payday.
That's cool. I know Matt's very into basketball, actually, so I'm sure we can give you some basketball hints.
You're more than welcome to. I've decided to go with the Brooklyn Nets because I like New York. It's my favourite city, and it's somewhere I might, if I'm lucky, be able to go again. So maybe I could actually watch a game. The Nets have some quite interesting stuff going on. And most importantly, their home colours are black. So obviously it's got to be them. That use of present tense is really cool. In terms of unexpected use of rock or metal songs, I can't really look past For Whom the Bell Tolls in Zombieland. Have you seen Zombieland?
Yes.
Me and my mate Jack watched that in the cinema. And we were all ready for a good film. We looked really good, like Woody Harrelson, zombies, wicked, this is going to be hilarious. When that zombie's face hits the windshield and then it like just goes into the da 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 da, like genuinely one of the best opening montages of any film I've ever seen. We were actually like going, oh, in the middle of the cinema because it was so well done.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that'd be my vote.
Well, I think it's that most recency thing for me. I rewatched The Matrix at the weekend.
Nice. Which is
amazing. And it's weird watching, I probably haven't seen it for like 10, 15 years. So it's weird watching it as more of a grown up. The bit I'd completely forgotten it, the bit where Neo walks into the nightclub in the beginning and Dracula's playing. I was like,
I don't actually remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched The Matrix in at least 10 years, I don't think. So I genuinely don't remember that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's in the club and Trinity comes up to him and says, "Hello, Neo." And like, yeah, Dracula's playing. I'm like, yeah, Dracula's awesome. I want to go to a club. Oh.
That's awesome. Yeah, I need to rewatch that. That's a fun old film. They're doing a fourth.
It's a great film. And like rewatching it again with the whole, since Code Orange did their last record, and they were obviously using like the metaphor of going down the rabbit hole and the Alice in Wonderland thing, and how that's used in The Matrix. And obviously their fashion and look is all inspired by the types of glasses and coats and, you know, new millennium cyber goth BDSM style joy. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see that. I just remember how much of an impact that has. Yeah. Like, again, like the fashion and the culture and people still talking about, maybe not always in a positive way, taking the red pill and all that. You're like, wow, The Matrix is massive.
Yeah, I too have seen that Twitter spat. another one that just came to mind, actually, Angel of Death in Gremlins 2 is a classic. Obviously, I watched Gremlins when I was pretty young, so I didn't know what Slayer was at the time. But it was one of those things. Do you ever have a thing where you've watched a film and it's got some music or it's got a reference or an actor in it or something, and you've watched the film a ton of times, but then you go back and watch it for the first time since you've got into a band or you've got into a different actor or something, and then they pop up in it and you're like, oh my God, it was this all along.
Yeah, totally. The Matrix was a bit like that for me, actually, just not in terms of necessarily the music, but just a ton of other stuff in the film where you're like, oh, now I know what they're talking about. Like before I was a young teenager and now I'm older.
It's so good because every time you watch an episode, like a year later, you get a different reference in it. So Angel of Death and Gremlins. And I hadn't fully got into, well, I was into Motorhead, but very kind of in a loose greatest hits kind of way. And when I was really getting into horror movies and I was just getting all these like horror sequels, as many of them as I can, Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, which I think is very underrated and really good fun. That finishes with a cover of Hellraiser. Wait, no, it's not a cover. Basically, Lemmy and Ozzy wrote a song called Hellraiser together for Ozzy's No More Tears album. It's an absolute banger of a track. And I'd heard the Ozzy version of that song, but I'd never actually heard the Motorhead version. So then I was watching Hellraiser 3, and then as the credits roll at the end, I heard Hellraiser, the song starting up, and I was like, oh, that's so cool that they've actually used this song for this movie. And then I heard Lemmy's voice singing over it instead, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? What is this? And like that made me realise that the Motorhead version's actually better. Yeah, I said it. Tom George McHugh says, who are your favourite artists outside of metal? And then he adds, hope everyone is doing well. Hope you're doing well too, Tom. I think we've answered this a few times, so I've kind of stuck to stuff from this year that I'm really into that's not metal-y. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Just kind of general stuff that we've talked about before. I like Paris, who are like a more, obviously like more of a rocky band than a metal band. I've gone more mainstream with the V in, like Halsey on that kind of end of things. I like mainstream Taylor Swift, Grimes, kind of like some of their stuff. Casey Musgraves, I chose last year for my non-metal album of the year, which was The Golden Hour.
Yeah, you got me into that album.
Yeah, it's really, really laid back. It's not metal at all. It's completely different. But if you're just kind of, if you want something that's really, really chilled, that record is really chilled.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great album. The Grimes album, I love. That's one of my favourite records from this year. I think my favourite non-metal album is probably the Fortet album from this year. If you like your really kind of floaty, I don't want to say meditative, because that sounds
really, I didn't even know they were still a thing.
Yeah.
No, I think for years.
I don't think they've, they have been around quite a while now. They
25 years or something, probably.
Shimmering like electronica. I think he does it better than anybody. And that new album is so good. I think that and Code Orange came out on the same day. So it was such a great day because I was like just alternating between them both all day long. This really heavy, visceral, angry album and then this nice kind of floaty EDM album and over around again. I also like the Duc Dumont album. If you like your kind of big, more basic, slightly trashy dance music, I'm very into that. Lane 8 is really nice as well, if you like the more chilled electronic stuff. Hip-hop-wise, I talked about Denzel Curry on the podcast before, actually. He had a new album this year. It's really good. And I'm very, very excited about imminent new albums from Lady Gaga, Run the Jewels, Bicep, and dead mouse that's going to be a lot of my listening for the rest of this year, I think. Run the Jewels, yeah, it's only 10 days away.
Zach Wells asks, what's the daftest made-up genre you can come up with? This is really hard because I feel like metal's done everything.
I was gonna say, you can't get stupider than pirate metal, can you? Not to knock out Storm in particular, but
yeah, pirate metal is pretty stupid. There's loads of other stuff too.
I mean, actually, you know what? Pirate metal isn't that stupid when you think about it in terms of like folk metal, because it's kind of, you know, pirates were a thing and there is kind of a cultural shift there. I don't know how deeply you can say bands like Hailstorm and Running Wild go into that, but it kind of works because there's a precedent. Like, you know what a piratey shanty sounds like.
The first time I heard Fintroll, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. But that's not even like, I mean, they call it troll metal, but that is just really frenetic folk metal, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, that was sort of the first time I'd heard it, though, like, whenever I heard that 20, 15 years ago, whenever it was.
I think the most tenuous is fucking goblin metal or whatever they call it.
Necrogoblicon.
No, the other one. Yes, Necrogoblicon. There's only one fucking goblin metal band.
There isn't another goblin metal band apart from Necrogoblicon.
Exactly, exactly. Because who else would be so ridiculous as to do such a thing?
Well, if no one else has done it, that's their problem.
Good point. Yeah. Hey, man. Like, look, they something like, I don't know. We all got to make a living.
Crabcore.
I feel like that was kind of like a label rather than a thing.
I thought you could actually bring back Crabcore, but you could make it about crabs.
That's the most L thing I've ever heard you say.
I don't think it is.
No, it's not. It's not even today. Not even today. It's the most L thing I've heard you say. Yeah, Crabcore, sure. What else could you do? Fucking hell. Hobbit metal.
No, people have done...
I was looking at my vinyl and I just saw my Lord of the Rings set. Hobbit metal.
People have done Lord of the Rings themed metal songs. That's why it's so hard to think of something that's...
But I'm not saying Hobbit themed metal. I'm saying Hobbit metal.
What, where people dress as hobbits?
Yeah, and they have to play like Hobbit music, but metal.
Oh, so like... Not looking from the outside, being from the inside, like you are a hobbit and you're making hobbity music.
Yeah.
It's right. Yeah. No, yeah, yeah, that could work.
I mean, yeah. It's just basically the other side of goblin metal, isn't it? So
yeah. The other side of goblin metal. I was just thinking, like, could you have posy metal that's just positive 100% of the time? Because most metal
Andy WK's got that sewn up, hasn't he?
I told you, there's something for everything.
No, there really is. Metal is genuinely, we're not just saying this because we work in it, it's genuinely one of the widest, the most varied and often ridiculous genres out there. Like, if there's a gimmick, metal's probably done it.
It's actually really a really annoying question because I actually looked up like a list of genres of music because I was like, oh, let's just find some stupid genre and put it with metal. And I was like, but everyone's done it already.
It's all been done. Well, the gimmick.
Sorry, go on. Just talked all over you.
No, I talked through you too.
That last Andrew WK album, if you're feeling a bit down, is so good. You're Not Alone was out in 2018. And it's got like that song, Music is Worth Living For. That is a proper, proper throw your arms in the air song. And all the spoken word stuff is cool as well. I feel like when that came out, everyone was excited that Andrew WK was a thing again. And everyone was like, Andrew WK. But I feel like people kind of ignored the record. And genuinely, it was a really fun, interesting, motivational, good record. So if you think he's just about party hard, definitely listen to that record. It's really good.
Really good. And I seem to remember Elle doing an excellent feature with him as well at the time.
I was very lucky. I went to Chicago and met the Party King.
The Party King himself. Yeah, big ups Andy WK for sure. That is just about it for this week's show. As I say, do pick up the new issue of Metal Hammer if you're able to safely. We know it's you know, life is very much not back to normal yet. And maybe nor should it be. You know, we really appreciate your support. We appreciate you guys listening to us. And we will be back next week and every week till you get sick of us, which is hopefully never.
I'm sick of you, Merlin.
Oh, cheers.
Not really.
You got me. Oh, goodness me. See you next week, everybody. Take care.
Goodbye.